Okay, three scriptures, beginning with Genesis 1:1. Is there anybody here who can't quote this scripture? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Praise be to God. Second one is John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, the Jehovah's Witness Bible puts a little letter in there, and the Word was a God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise be to God. And finally, Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22, verses 20 and 21. Very end of the Bible. From the beginning to the end. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Do you know what he's saying there when he says, I come quickly? He's saying, when I come, it's going to happen fast. Boom, boom, boom. It's going to happen real fast. Praise be to God. Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Father God, Lord, that even though we see through a glass darkly, Lord, you are constantly illuminating the way, Lord, that we not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Amen. We thank you and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. And all God's people said amen. Amen. And please be seated. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. You know what I was thinking about when I was putting this together? Excuse me. Was this really great English teacher I had when I was a senior in high school. I graduated from Monroe Woodbury High School. If you've ever been to Woodbury Common, you can look across the way and there's that long school. That used to be grades 6 through 12. And now they've built two high schools after that with stuff that I wish they had had when I was going to school. I'd love to play hockey. Now they have a hockey team. You know, they have swimming. They have everything that they didn't have when I was going to school. Graduated in 1966. But this English teacher, Mr. Baumgarten, was brilliant, you know. He could recite poetry, you know, tiger, tiger, in the night, tiger, tiger, growing bright, you know, Blake to Shakespeare to everybody. And he was like, if you've ever seen the movie The Paper Chase with John Houseman as the intimidating law professor who would put people on edge and catch them if they weren't totally prepared and make them look like a dope. Baumgarten could do that. He was excellent. He always knew if you were prepared or you weren't prepared. Now he knew, which I always admired him for, he knew my humiliation that I had gone through the year before in my junior year. When I went out, I've told you about this, for a poetry recitation contest, an assembly in front of the entire school, and I was prepared. Oh, I was ready to go. My friend said, you had it. You had it. You had it now. And they had, you know, when you go on stage, they have this little pit where somebody is down there with a copy of your particular thing in case you blow a line or whatever. You can look at them and they prompt you. I was out there, I was going great guns. Real long poem. The Creation of Sam McGee. Don't know if you ever heard of it. And I was reciting this thing. And I was, you know, demonstrative. I was going great guns. And all of a sudden, I forgot a line. Forgot the next line. And I looked down at the guy in the pit. And he said, he doesn't have a copy of my poem. He had a copy of everybody else's things, but not mine. And I'm standing up there, and finally, in front of the entire school, I had to say, I'm sorry, I forgot the poem, and walk off. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine me public speaking today? After going through that trauma, God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? But this guy started to rebuild it, you know? He would have us read parts of Shakespearean plays and everything else, and he would always pick me to get up there. I didn't have to memorize it, just read it. And he helped me. He really did. You know, the only thing I didn't like about Mr. Baumgarten was he was one of those guys who had that thing of spittle in the side of the mouth, and it was always there. His wife was an administrator in the school, and you would think she would say to him, Jim, you know, you ought to wipe that off, because, you know, you couldn't look at him. But other than that, he was a great English teacher. And part of the course was creative writing. And one day he taught us if you're going to write a story, it has to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Duh. Yeah. Well, gee, I get that. You know, every story I've ever read, every novel I've ever read has a beginning, a middle, and an end. But what he was saying is that you better know the end from the beginning, or else it's going to get real garbled, and it's not going to make any sense, and that story is not one that anybody's going to read. Praise be to God. You think God knew what he was doing when he started his story? History. His story. You know, I read that scripture from Isaiah all the time. I am God, there is no one like me, knowing the end from the beginning. And my counsel shall stand. Amen. What he has determined will come to pass. Praise be to God, because he's God. You know, I see myself sometimes, I'm driving around, you know, delivering Meals on Wheels and riding through the countryside and looking at people, you know, people who come at me in the middle of the road, and I mean, there are a lot of nutsy drivers out there. And thinking, Lord, you have this all under control. You created every single one of us. And you've got it under control. Sorry, this stuff has given me, you know. Thanks, Lucille. Oh. But he says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning of what? In the beginning of the creation. Not the beginning of him. He's from eternity past to eternity future. There is no beginning with God, and there is no end. It was in the beginning of the creation that God created the heaven and the earth. And we know from John's Gospel that it was the Word, the second member of the Holy Trinity, that made all things. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus made it all.
Amen.
He spoke, and it was done. Psalm 33, verse 6. He spake, and it was done. To put it in the King James. All things were made by Him, the living Word. Here the Word is not speaking about the Bible, our written Word, but rather the express image of God the Father, who is forever communicating out of that Trinity into space, and who has been doing it for the last 6,000 or 7,000 years. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Hebrews 1, 1 to 3. God, who at sundry times, you know, when I was growing up, they had sundry stores. Do you remember sundry stores? They were variety stores. That's what it means. At various times and in diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. Guess what? We're joint heirs with Him, aren't we? Isn't that amazing? We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. That means heirs of all things.
That's right.
Praise be to God. By whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, the Father's glory, and the express image of His, the Father's person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty of God.
Glory.
Praise God. The important thing to me is, you know, I like being an heir, a joint heir with Jesus, but I'm more concerned about having my sins purged. He has purged them. He has burned them away. He has taken away not only the power of them, but the penalty of those sins.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Jesus was and is the express image of God the Father.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And I'm in Him.
Thank you, Lord.
And He's in me.
That's right.
Glory.
He was the Word who has eternally existed and who communicates God's will and purpose both in the creation and in you and me. Jesus is the great communicator. He is the living Word.
That's right.
Amen. So that He is the express image of God's will. And He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. We get to know each other by use of words, don't we? I talk to you, you talk to me, I get to know you, I get to either like you or dislike you or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We get to know each other.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, I get to know your character. I get to know what your, you know, ambitions are and all of those things about you through words. And God does the same thing. Only His is the living Word. Jesus, the Christ. You know, Jesus not only brought us a message when He came to earth, but He revealed Himself as the message. He is the message. Jesus is the message.
That's right.
You've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Amen.
Get to know me, and you'll get to know the Father. I am the message. Praise be to God. Doesn't get any simpler than that, does it? We tend to make it complicated.
Yes.
But Jesus says, hey, get to know me, and you'll get to know the Father, and you'll get to know His purposes, and you'll get to know His will, and you'll get to align with it and be blessed.
Amen.
Simple. Very simple. Praise be to God. You know, He speaks constantly. But because of maybe rebellion or distraction or spiritual blindness or whatever the blocker is, and there's the enemy coming into that too, to increase that blockage, we don't hear Him all the time, do we? And He's saying, I'm speaking eternally through the living Word, my Son. You know, I love what A.W. Tozer says about the living Word. He says it's the expression of the will of God spoken into the substance of all things. That's what the Word of God is. It's spoken into the substance of all things, into us.
That's right.
His Word is the will of God spoken into us. And He says, open your ears, open your heart, and I'll show you what the will of God
Amen.
Is. Because I am His living Word. Praise be to God. And it's the most powerful Word in the universe. Psalm 33. I quote this all the time. Verses 6 and 9. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. You know why this building is here? You know why you and I are here? Because He spoke. And it stands fast. And it will. Until He says, no, no more. Praise be to God. That's the beginning of His story. He created heaven and earth. But then there's the messy middle. Every story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. That's where it can get all garbled. But thank God He is in control. And as we know from Isaiah, as I said, He does know the end from the beginning. We can lose sight of that. Oh my God, Adam and Eve fell. They got cast out of the garden. Oh my God, Abraham, the father of faith, tried to pass his wife off as his sister. Oh my God, Lot and his wife didn't want to leave Sodom. The godly Joseph was sold into slavery. David, man after God's own heart, commits adultery. All this stuff in between. But God orchestrated it, didn't He? Right up to the point where Jesus was born in Bethlehem and came to redeem all of that and save our souls and all the souls that would come afterwards. Praise be to God. He managed to get him in the right time, the right place for His purpose.
Amen.
Because He knew the end of the story. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then we have the Word being made flesh, full of grace and truth. Praise be to God. Have you found Jesus full of grace and truth? I know I have.
Jesus.
Amen.
You know, I have at some time studied the Word of God on my knees, where I just open the Bible and say, Lord, You lead me where You want me to be. You know where He always leads me? To a place of grace and truth. Praise be to God. Sometimes it takes a roundabout route because God wants to show me certain things. And finally gets me to the right place. And I say, oh, that's where you wanted me all along. Praise be to God. But look what I learned along the way. Praise be to God. You know, the part of the middle is our territory. That place of grace and truth. And sometimes it can get really confusing, can't it? Sometimes it can be really harsh, that place of the middle of the story. You know, I've been through some things. I know you have and are to this day going through certain things. Jack, Teresa, it's a rough place, that middle, isn't it?
Yes.
Getting to that place of the end. You know, the Acts of the Apostles went well at first, but then look at the history of the church after the first century. Went downhill, especially from the fourth century on, when Constantine made Christianity the state religion, and then we have the rise of Catholicism and all that garbage.
Amen.
Until the Reformation. And even after then.
Amen.
We're living in post-Reformation, and look at the garbage that's going on in the church.
Yes.
Amen.
I call up deceptioninthechurch.com on a regular basis because it tells you everything that's going on. That is garbage. But despite the apostates, the imposters, the charlatans, the self-seekers, and everything else, God knew the end from the beginning.
Hallelujah.
And He's going to get us there on time.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
What is the end that God knew from the beginning? For us, we who are heirs of salvation, we listen to His eternal Word. This Word that was spoken into the substance of all things. Praise be to God. The end will simply be a new beginning.
Amen.
For those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. One story will end and another will begin.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. One glad morning or evening will fly away.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 18, familiar scriptures. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, what? Comfort one another with these words. That's a comforting word, isn't it? That I might not die. I might just be translated.
Hallelujah.
And even if I do die, God is going to raise me up.
Amen.
Immediately. Take me to heaven.
Amen.
He's going to send His angels. They're going to come, chariots of fire.
Praise God.
And draw me up into His presence. Praise be to God. What do I have to worry about? I wonder if the words "come up hither" are now even beginning to form on the Lord's lips. Come up hither. He's getting ready to give that shout. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. You know, all those who have died at sea, who have been blown up by suicide bombers, all the believers in Christ, no matter how they've died, God is going to, in an instant of time, reconstitute their bodies. Praise be to God. If you look at 1 Thessalonians, we're in 4. If you look at 14, instead of 16. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. I think it gives us a strong clue as to how it's all going to work out. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
Amen.
You see what he's talking about? They are in some kind of spiritual body that we don't know about. And here are all these dead bodies of those who have died in Christ, some in the ground, some in the sea, some who knows where. And Jesus is going to bring all of their spirits with him to instantly reconstitute their bodies and reunite them and then give them a spiritual body.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thus shall we ever be with the Lord. And those of us who are still alive will be translated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see it?
Amen.
Praise be to God. The Bible speaks clearly. Doesn't, you know, there are some mysterious things that we'll never know, but this is clear as a bell. He's going to bring their spiritual bodies and he's going to call up their physical bodies. They're going to be reunited, translated, and brought into heaven. Thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort yourself with these words. Praise be to God. You know, I don't care. Either way, I would love to not have to die. I have to admit it. I don't want to die. But God says, you know, even if you do, guess what? You're going to be translated.
Right.
Boom!
Amen.
Just like that.
I believe it.
There's no,
amen.
You know, no, there's no soul sleep. There's no, what's that word that the Catholics use all the time?
Purgatory.
There's no purgatory. It's absent from the body, present with the Lord. How much clearer does it get? Amen? Praise be to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But it leads to a new beginning, doesn't it? I believe at the end of the tribulation, because it says those who are in Christ shall rise. I believe at the end of the tribulation, the old covenant believers will be transformed. You know, and you can disagree with that if you want. That's okay. There are different views on that. But then we'll have the final, the white throne judgment of the unbelievers when the books will be open. And if your name isn't in the book of life, oh boy, I don't want to be there. Then the books of your works will be open. And then every sin that you've ever committed will be exposed. And God will say, how come you didn't choose my means of salvation to cover those sins? To purge them. How come you rejected it? And they will be cast into the lake of fire. And then there will be a 1,000-year reign of Christ, us reigning with him. Why? Why does there have to be a millennium? So that God can show once and for all, it's not nurture, it's nature. The reason that people sin and rebel against God is because it's in here. Not because of their circumstances or their environment, because Jesus will be in charge. Everything will be restored. Everything will be perfect. And still, there will be multitudes who will rebel at the end of that millennial kingdom, follow Satan, and follow him into the lake of fire. And then there's us. I'll start to wind this down here. Our individual roles in his story. We had a beginning when we were born. And we're given a new beginning when we were born again. The way we're born again is to simply receive Jesus into our heart. Accept him as Savior and Lord, and accept God's only means of salvation to free us from the effects of the fall and from ultimately being separated from God. And we're each of us somewhere in the middle now. Remember that song, Stuck in the Middle with You? And sometimes it seems like we're muddling through, doesn't it? We have good days and bad days. We have days of victory. We have days when we feel like we're just feeling the blues. We have days when we're on top of it and days when we feel that we're underneath it.
Amen.
This is all the middle.
Yes.
You know? It's all in the middle. But we're not without hope, as unbelievers are. You know, there are so many hope scriptures, but I'm just going to choose one. Romans 15:13. Romans 15:13. I like the very beginning because it says, now the God of hope. We serve a God of hope, don't we? Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That's where it's at, isn't it?
Yes.
I have to believe. I serve a God of hope. I serve a God of peace. I serve a God of joy. I serve a God of love. And I believe that.
Amen.
That ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise be to God. That's the only way. You know, I've said it many times. I don't leave the house in the morning without being filled afresh with the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. And I don't leave the house until I get that infilling. Ever. And the word hope there means the desire of some good with the expectation of obtaining it. I assume that good is going to come to me. Praise be to God. Jeremiah 29:11. I'm going to read it in two different translations and shut this down. Jeremiah 29:11. This is the Lord God Himself speaking through His prophet Jeremiah to His creation, you and me. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And now I'm going to read it in the Amplified, the only other translation I ever use. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome.
Praise God.
That's the way God looks at us.
Amen.
He created us. He led us to that place of finding salvation through Jesus Christ, and then He gives us special, great, and precious promises to live by. And this is one of them. I want to give you hope in your final outcome. Never lose it. And what's that expected end, that final outcome for the believer in Jesus Christ? Romans 8:28-30. Praise be to God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God?
Amen.
Oh, how can you not love someone who is love? To them who are the called. It's not just called, but the called according to His purpose. We are the called. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those word faith preachers who use that to say that Jesus was born again and he was the first. No. What that's talking about is he has the preeminence. He is the firstborn. He has the preeminence.
Amen.
Among everybody else who will be born after that. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, which means to declare not guilty before God. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Made honorable before God the Father. You know, God calls everyone to himself, but only certain ones respond. And those are going to be glorified. And note, it's not the past tense. It's in the presence, because God is so certain of our salvation that he says, I already see you glorified in my eyes. Praise be to God. So what am I saying? Every story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Our story, thank God, is all bound up in his story. Thank God he spoke the word into the substance of all things, into my heart and into yours, so that we have a blessed hope, assurance of eternal life in a glorified state, and the Holy Ghost to guide us through to the end. You know, I was in the news business for 18 years. And when I first started out, we had the, I worked for the Times Herald Record. And when I got to be a reporter working in the Newburgh Bureau, we had teletype machines where you would type the story and it would come out the other end in the main office in Middletown on these yellow sheets, and then they'd do some production thing with it. But at the end of your story, you always type 30. That 30. The numeral, 30. And it goes back to an old-fashioned thing where they, by hand, typeset. You know, the stories, and when they saw the 30, they knew that that was the end of that one, and they had to increase the type size for the next story that was going to start with a headline, and which should be in much larger type. And it just carried on, you know. So whenever we typed a story, we always put 30 at the end. You know, God stamped 30 on Elizabeth's life.
That's right. Yeah.
That was the end of one story and the start of another story.
Amen.
And he has yet to stamp that 30 on our lives.
That's right.
Praise be to God. But when he does, we have to be prepared to move on to the next story. His story about us still, but now in eternity. Praise be to God. Still gives us time to follow hard after God until that 30 is stamped on us. God knows the end from the beginning and everything in the middle.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
He knows I may muddle through tomorrow and have a tough day, but I know at the end of the day, he's still in charge. He's still in control. My job is to believe that and to live in obedience to his will.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The living word continues to speak daily. We sing, "Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayer." And I believe God is saying to each one of us, "Hear my cry. Hear my voice." That living word that is constantly speaking out to you, open your ears that I may speak clearly to you. You may follow it and be like Samuel. Remember Samuel? When he was with Eli, and he heard this voice speaking, and he thought it was Eli calling to him. Eli said, no, no, no. Finally, he realized it was the voice of the Lord. And what did he say? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Those are the words that God wants us to hear, I believe, or say, speak, every single day. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Father, we thank you and praise
you, Lord.
We give you all glory, praise, and honor in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah. Give us ears to hear, Lord. A heart to be obedient, Lord. Hallelujah. Help us to hear your speaking voice on a daily basis, Lord.
In Jesus'
name, amen and amen. We'll close with a song. The altar will be open for prayer. Praise be to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
just thank you very much that I sense in my heart, and I'm sure my brothers and sisters do as well, that I'm in family.
Yes, Lord.
That I'm secure in the family of God.
Thanks, Lord.
Which is more real than the family I was born here into in earth. It's just a special feeling of security in that word that Pastor used, that word of hope. Yes. You are our Father of hope, God. And we know that there's good things coming, and we're already experiencing many of the good things of the treasures of the kingdom of the family that you have called us into. It's just a good thing. And to hear of you just makes me happy. It just lifts me up all the beautiful
yes,
treasures
Lord.
And manifestations that you have brought forth and you've spoken into our lives and that we've had experience and the ones that we even haven't. I even thank you, Father, that we look through a glass dimly because I know that there's a brightening coming and I see all those things. All those things, but right now I'm just enjoying the things that I see dimly. And I praise you for that, Lord.
Thank you
that you are so good to
thank
us.
You, Jesus.
I thank you for the surety, the solid nail that you have put into our lives. And we are steadfast and firm in you, yielding unto you, the King of glory, looking unto you, the author and the perfecter of our faith.
Yes,
and you
Lord.
Do it all. You just do it all, and all we're called to do is see and believe what you have prepared for us.
Yes.
I thank you that your sheep hear your voice.
Thank you, Lord.
And like Pastor said, you're there for us every morning.
Yes, Lord.
Every morning. And you speak to us and give us hope and bring us peace and tranquility and surety and salvation and preservation that we just abide in you. Living in the kingdom, being a part of your family.
Yes.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
Hallelujah.
Washed in the fountain.
Amen.
Cleansed by your blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this side, because we're part of the family of God. Enlighten us, Lord. Make us lights on a lamppost that others might see Jesus and be drawn into this blessed hope. Oh, this is the time for there's so many hurting and suffering. They need answers. And Lord, we are the answers. We are manifesting the glory. I pray, Father, that as Tim said earlier, that we would be witnesses, martyrs unto the kingdom, that others might see in us the hope that lies within us. Guide us by your power, by your dunamis, by your accomplishing power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank